Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Dedicated to Henry Foreman. In the year of the primal force and the dawn of terrestrial birth, men mastered the mammoth and horse.
In Dublin's fair city where the girls are so pretty and all that kind of thing. Well, my friends, Agitators Anonymous, episode 180-something or other. I previously had planned a podcast about something completely different. And then last night happened to walk through the city through a riot, as you've probably seen on social media, on your news reports, on all sorts of things like this. Literally, you've seen pictures of, you know, the city on fire and that kind of thing. So today's podcast, for better or for worse, I'm going to try and talk about it, discuss it, what happened, the reasons why it happened. Of course, this is pretty, you know, dangerous territory, maybe, because already we know this well enough that almost every single thing that happens now in modern society is immediately inserted into the structure of, you know, the culture war or tribalism or all that kind of thing. So I'm going to try and put some nuance and context into explaining some of the things that maybe happened yesterday and also about Dublin. And, well, like I said, I literally walked past burning, burning buses and burning, well, a burning city last night from one side of the city to the other, just to take a look at what was going on. So you can't listen to this and go, well, you weren't there, you were. Well, yes, I was, and saw it with my own eyes. So let's, Agitators Anonymous. Previously was about something, you know, just sort of a nice commentary about old bands playing old albums and, you know, did the crowd know them and all that kind of thing. It was a bit of a music industry commentary, but I'm going to try and, well, maybe I'll get to that, but I'm going to discuss a little bit about what just happened in Dublin. My main, my main first impression was the, it's very strange being in a city that is, where a riot is taking place. You can sort of stand at a reasonably safe distance, well, so you think. There's a very tense, strange sort of silent atmosphere in the city. And I walked from one side to the other, from the, anybody knows anything about Dublin, you know, traditionally, the north side is called the dodgy side and the south side is the posh side. And walking from the north side to the south side, I was struck by the very strange mood in the city. There were helicopters buzzing overhead everywhere you went. As I walked the north side of the city, there was buses on fire. There was kids in North Face kind of, you know, jackets with face coverings flinging shit at the guards. That's our police, who were there with riot shields, and they were charging groups of kids. There were Lewis's, which is our trams. They were on fire. There were buses on fire. It kind of looked a bit like a war zone. And I walked, as I walked from the north side to the south side, then on the south side is where our parliament is, our Dáil. There were riot police everywhere. And there were like posh women in fur coats trying to like pet the horses, because, you know, there was not much happening on the south side yet, but the police were kind of braced for what was about to happen. And they were, you know, kind of chatting with people coming out of Christmas parties who were obviously sort of unaware of what was happening. And you had these pissed, posh women tottering along in high heels, trying to pet the horses. And literally, I'd just come a couple of hundred meters from where kids were flinging rocks at the police and setting fire to stuff and setting fire to buses. Very strange atmosphere. Everyone stood around kind of watching, lots of people filming everything, people standing at a safe distance watching what looked like a scene from, well, I mean, let's be honest, it could be a scene from kind of every European city at the moment. And I'm going to try and talk about that in the podcast as well. It's a very strange, odd feeling watching it kind of unfold in real time right in front of you. I happened to be playing a football match and then was stranded way out on the north side of the city near the airport and had to make my way back into the city. But you had to kind of get off and walk through the city to come back across. And I thought, well, all right, let's go and have a look at what's happening. And true enough, just the bottom of the street looked like it was ablaze. To put a couple of things in context, because instantly everybody's going to rush to tribal judgments, what this was about would appear to be, you know, don't forget, I'm not a news source. I'm just a singer in a heavy metal band who does a podcast. But an Algerian man, a national, but of Irish citizenship, who's been living here for, I think, 16 years or something, stabbed, I think, a woman and three kids who were in critical condition at about 5 p.m. rush hour and sort of broad daylight in the city centre. Which, of course, you know, loads of people rushed into the scene. He seems to have stabbed himself and, you know, almost been killed by onlookers who, well, went to beat the shit out of him. And, like, chaos unfolds. Chaos unfolds then. He's taken to hospital. Kids are taken to hospital. Nobody seems to be dead yet, as far as I know, although that might change. And do something like that in broad daylight with just tons and tons of people around. There'd already been tension simmering between local inner city people and the cops over various things. And to put it in context, and I think you need to kind of put this in context before it descends into tribalism and people argue about the semantics of words, because don't forget, what actually happened is that someone stabbed three kids standing outside a nursery. Now, don't let that be forgotten, that's what actually happened. Okay, so the scenes of, you know, buses on fire, which we've seen before in Dublin. Don't forget, I'm reminded of the Love Ulster Parade, which was maybe 10, 15 years ago, where in an attempt at reconciliation with the loyalists in the north, they were invited to march down O'Connell Street in Dublin. And local scumbags, inner city scumbags, you know, let's just, yeah, if you've been to Dublin or if you're from Dublin or you know Dublin or you know Ireland, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. The same kind of people who came to the Snoop Dogg Swedish House Mafia show and, you know, knocked the shit out of dozens of people. And there was lots of stabbings at that as well. There's a huge contingent of people within Dublin that you should be dead wary of. And they're from Dublin. And they will come out for a ruck, to protest, to riot, kind of at the drop of a hat. So, you know, you're going to read things where it's going to say it was far-right protesters with our, you know, crazy ideology and this, that, the other. You know, there might be a few people like that within this group of people, but that's not really it. It's people who are just from, you know, the inner city who are, or and the surrounding area, who are just young, angry men in it for the ruck, who'll just come out to fling shit at the police no matter what. And I think you see this replicated throughout every protest that's been happening in Europe in big cities, which feel like a tinderbox post-lockdown. But I'm reminded of the Love Ulster Parade, which turned into insanity. And I went down to look at that at the time, and there were smashed windows, and they were tearing up the streets. And lads in Celtic jerseys, that's a football club from Scotland, just fighting with the cops. And it was mental. I'm reminded of English football hooliganism, which arrived in Ireland for this famous... you know, they tore up the stadium, parts of the stadium. Must be late 90s, early mid-90s. Almost be mid-90s because Jack was still in charge, Jack Charlton. Various other points. I've seen protests and riots in the street. I've never seen quite as many things set on fire as last night. But Dublin has this air about it. And if you've never been here, it's changed a lot now. It's quite gentrified. But back in the 80s, growing up as a teenager, you could be in a fight and on a Saturday in town every half an hour, every 20 minutes. I don't exaggerate. But if you had long hair, you were going to get into a scrap with lads with tracksuits. We used to have Beat on the Street, which was like an open air, sort of supposed to be like a sort of, you know, disco kind of thing. And it just always descended into chaos and fights. If you're from Belfast or Glasgow or Bradford or Leeds or, you know, Swansea or Cardiff, you'll know what I mean, that I'm not exaggerating. And this was the same in the early 90s. Then ecstasy came into Dublin, calmed things down a bit. Then we had a lot of cocaine violence, early 2000s. It can be a rough place. Now, of course, the city has gentrified and moved people out from the city centre. But make no mistake, it can all kick off here. And last night it all kicked off in spectacular style. And, you know, people just were just going absolutely fucking crazy fighting with the cops. So to try and put some context on what happened, you know, nobody knows quite what was the motives behind the attack. Mental illness, perhaps. I mean, I certainly can say that since the lockdown, the pandemic, which I openly, you know, opposed lockdown on the podcast, all that kind of stuff, an awful lot of people were locked out of their treatments. They weren't able to get whatever medication they needed. And you see the repercussions now still. There are lots of nutcases walking around the streets. Around the corner from me, there's several little gangs of lads from different places who gather. You know, you will see people wandering up and down the streets talking to each other or talking to themselves, junkies. You will get violent outbursts. There's lots of stuff in the streets that hasn't been resolved since lockdown, where a lot of people probably who had to get medication didn't get some. This is not to absolve anybody from anything, but there is no... you know, they don't know yet. Was this some response from this guy who stabbed these kids? Was it something to do with... They ruled out terrorism. It's very hard to say because, of course, the cops are mindful of allowing too much information into the public because it can... well, you'll get more protests like you saw last night. They kind of want to keep a lid on that. I don't know. None of the people who were witness to the attack have come out saying that they thought that there was some sort of religious motive to it or Islamic motive to it. It doesn't look like that. Looks like a crazy dude stabbed a bunch of kids. I mean, and unfortunately, the riots are going to take away from what was such an incredibly dark thing to happen in broad daylight. And so all the papers are, you know, going to be of burning burning cars and burning buses. But I don't think we can really comprehend all this without saying that it feels, having traveled around Europe quite a bit now since lockdown ended, there is tension in the streets. And it's part of it is the cost of living crisis. People are finding that they just don't have the money. And there is big unrest and much resentment towards the state, towards governments. Don't forget, you know, maybe your middle class observations of lockdown in the suburbs where you had a, you know, you could work from, your laptop, the pajama class, as I called them back with Agitators Anonymous at the beginning, able to work from home, thought it was lovely, play in the garden. Oh, what a nice break from everything. But if you were a working class family with four or five kids trying to teach your kids in Zoom in a small little tiny apartment in the city centre and maybe a father who was a taxi driver or something and you couldn't work, life was a bit more difficult. So there's been built up tension and resentment in those areas. You know, the government has also been moving migrants into hotels in some of those areas, hotels which are shut in lockdown. The whys and wherefores of that situation aren't really exactly known, but definitely it's caused tension with locals. I went down to look at a few of those protests. I mean, I live right in the city centre, so it's not hard to get on your bike and just have a little look around. And, you know, there's been tension, there's been no doubt about that. And then add in, as I said, issues with rent, rising rents, people not there's no jobs. And there's always in Dublin, there's been this generation of people who've been in welfare traps, who've been, big working class areas which resent the police, which resent the state, resent the government for whatever reasons, local community reasons. And every now and again, this kind of flares up, but it doesn't usually flare up after such a horrific event as children being stabbed. You can't really think of anything more dark or extreme than that. So for the kind of people who are tutting it, you know, everybody tearing the streets up, I mean, I get it. It's awful to see this happen to the city. It's awful to see, you know, hundreds of people out in the streets destroying stuff. But, you know, you can, if you're really, really kind of like coldly practical about it, you could see this was going to happen. You could see something like this was going to happen as soon as something so extreme. You know, your city doesn't have a stabbing of children in the broad daylight and have no reaction from no one. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff. But anybody who's from Dublin or from Ireland will tell you that things like this can, not quite as extreme, but they can kick off here. And that Dublin does have a history of things like this. But certainly, to put it in a broader context, it feels like many places now there is a big... The moment, let's say, the era of upward mobility that came to most European cities or most of Europe after the, let's say, Berlin Wall fell, that sort of early 90s to the crash of 2008. I often say that that's a period of upward middle-class mobility throughout most of Europe. You have Eastern European countries beginning to, you know, a tide beginning to rise for them as communism was dismantled. You have, you know, foreign multinationals pouring some money and work into previously impoverished countries such as Ireland. And
normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We enjoyed a sort of window, about a 16, 17 year window of relative upward mobility. And then somewhere, you know, the crash of 2008, on the surface, Ireland seems like a very rich country. It seems to be doing very well. But this is really a sort of multinational cause, as in companies with foreign investment are doing very well and making a lot of money. But the trickle down effect to your average working class person in Ireland isn't huge. Middle class people who've kind of, you know, are sheltered from some of these things may disagree. As I said, the pajama class, or I'm sure the journalists of magazines tip-tapping away in their local artisan bakery about how awful the working class people are, don't really go down into those areas. I don't really know them. I think it's the same with almost every marginalised, tribalised sort of group. Now you get one group writing about the other saying how awful they are from either side of the political divide without them ever really taking on board their concerns. And so you get this sort of growing, fermenting resentment. And, you know, in Dublin, you know, you have pro-Palestine marches in Dublin. There's been, you know, Ireland has always been very pro-Palestine. And let's be clear, is that some of the same people tearing up the streets last night, setting fire to stuff. If, let's say, for example, at a pro-Palestine march, the cops had got heavy-handed and like clobbered a few people who were protesting. Those same people would have appeared to, you know, push back against the cops, and the same kind of thing could have happened. It's only been a few months ago since a friend of mine showed a video. He took himself out his front window of hundreds of youths. I think it was out near Tala. Shout out to Tala, California. And they were, you know, they were as joyriders going up and down, and they were ramming the cops. And, you know, there were hundreds of people gathered around cheering them on. And even during lockdown, you know, in the same sort of area, I think someone stole a digger from a construction site and like broke into a Lidl, and they, you know, they set the thing on fire. If you think back about it, things like this are always happening, or have always happened in Dublin. And this level of animosity from certain areas in Dublin towards the cops, towards the government, towards the state, towards a part of Irish society they feel, you know, just either looks down on them, ignores them, or they just want a rock to tear it up. If you had a pro-Palestine march on the, you know, on Saturday, and maybe people don't like to hear it because these are two, you know, because at the moment the, you know, the state, elements of the state are busy calling all the people protesting last night far right. They could quite easily have been protesting on Saturday against the cops, or come into town to cause a ruck if something else had happened. For I think almost any protest or any march, they might show up. You know, during lockdown, kids were roaming around the streets on the little scooters, robbing people because people were forced to eat and drink outside for, you know, nonsense reasons. And kids were roaming around in gangs of scooters and again fighting with the cops. So trying to put some context on it for people, that there is a huge element of Dublin society that is willing to come out on the streets and just have a ruck with the cops. And those reasons can be quite different and quite difficult to pin down. So trying to put some nuance and context on what's happening for anybody listening from outside, it looks insane. But it looks like something that could have just happened in any French city. I mean, a lot of French cities recently have been protests. There's been, you know, there's been violent protests in... You've seen them in Athens, you've seen them in Italy, you've seen them in Spain, you've seen them. It feels like there's a growing tension in society, which, I mean, like I said, I've said it before in the Agitators Anonymous, an awful lot of this is from, I think, the 2008 collapse onwards, the banking crisis collapse, and 10 years of social media derangement, and I think classic divide and conquer tactics employed by the political financial elite to separate people, to make them other each other, to think of all the reasons why that they should be at each other's throats. And then you just add in lockdown, which, you know, exacerbated the situation. I mean, I stood at my own door and watched, you know, people protesting in the streets of Dublin about Black Lives Matter while in the middle of a pandemic, when another protest would have been told to stay inside or stay indoors. So it builds up resentment among people from certain areas about what they see as one rule for thee and one rule for me. And then you pour in sort of classic traditional classism, the fact that, you know, an awful lot of middle class people look down on working class people and call them this and that and the other. It's a post-Trumpian thing, post-Brexit thing, you know, the deplorable class, and keep calling people that, and it won't, you know, doesn't take much to bring them out into the streets and torch stuff. And it's I have a love-hate relationship with my city, and it's awful to see this happening in your city, but being super cold and pragmatic about it, maybe not pragmatic is not the right word, but very, very, you know, trying to view it coldly. And that's what I was trying to do while I was standing in the street watching all of this last night. You know, you could sense it. You could sense it was boiling up. People whose resentment towards the state have been, you know, they were compounded by lockdown when there's no doubt people behind their screens were getting, you know, were being filled with lots and lots and lots of more insane, extreme ideas from either side, and there's a great tension in society, and also the fact that just simple the cost of living has just gone up 2, 3, 4 times as much in some places, and nobody's wages are stagnant for years. I mean, of course, I think maybe it's simplistic, but inflation 101, right? If you print more money in a couple of years than it was printed in the previous 80, it's going to devalue its worth, right? And then you allow most of your city to be torn up and rebuilt by foreign investment firms, where Irish people have no chance of owning anywhere to live. You wonder why some people are going to resent that.
Yeah,
very difficult. Very, very difficult. So just that was just an attempt to try and put some context and nuance about it. Anybody who's been to Dublin or is from Dublin or grown up in an older Dublin kind of knows exactly the kind of element I'm trying to put my finger on without being too offhand or being, you know, as classist as some of the, you know, journalists in, you know, middle class journalists in newspapers who never go down to those areas are. But these were the same people who, as a teenager or 20 something, you would have been in fights with, or, you know, cut your hair, you're a fucking hippie, etc. You know what I mean, if you know. And so, as I said, the crazy scenes of walking through the city, watching, you know, parts of it on fire, to cross the city to the posh side, to watching drunk rich people in fur coats spill out of expensive bars, trying to pet the horses, pissed, wondering what's going on, who've completely missed all of this context. That was the crazy thing. The cops with their, you know, riot gear taken off. Oh, yeah, you know, just casually chatting with some women in fur coats. I keep mentioning fur coats, but that was just my lasting memory. Burning buses in fur coats is maybe what I should call the episode. So both sides, of course, rushing, you know, to condemn the other with the most, you know, most extreme elements of the, you know, the conversation. You've got, as I said, I already did a podcast about the hate speech bill legislation being passed here, and something like this will just move that further forwards. You've got the police commissioner calling, you know, it a far right ideological riot, which, you know, anybody who was there last night or looking at it will know that that's not what it was. I mean, of course, there, you know, might be elements of that somewhere in the middle of it, but it's just young lads looking for a ruck, looking for a riot, looking for things to fling at the cops, setting fire to stuff, looting. I don't think looting is a political ideology, do you? But just people looking to rob stuff as well. I mean, that's just kind of what it is. But this will be used to order to give the police greater powers to expand their, you know, powers in relation to things like, you know, hate speech, which, whether you agree or disagree, is for me an Orwellian concept that, you know, can be used to greater social and digital control. That's just my opinion. If you disagree, that's okay, but I would advise reading 1984 to understand at least where it came from. Anyway, it's a kind of emergency podcast, not really an emergency podcast, but as they're warning people to stay out of the city again tonight, closing businesses, all that kind of stuff, we could be in for a rather hectic weekend here in Dublin. I'm not one of those guys that's going around documenting it on my Instagram, taking pictures of burning stuff, but you've probably seen enough. And goddamn, did they clean so much of it up before most people got to walk around the city this morning. They must have been, it's quite an amazing job. Shout out to Dublin City Council for cleaning up the mess so quickly. And who knows, they might have more mess tomorrow morning. And if you're getting annoyed at either side of what I'm saying here, what I'm trying to do again is sit in the grey area, sit on the fence, put both sides of the argument, say, yes, there are elements of, you know, there are elements of one thing in amongst these protests, but we all know that's not the whole story. But at the heart of where this chaos came from is the actions of a man, obviously out of his mind, who tried to stab a bunch of very small kids outside a nursery in broad daylight. That, let that not be lost amongst all the images of burning buildings and burning, you know, trams and burning buses. And like I said, it feels like something that could kick off in most Western cities right at the moment. I mean, maybe not just the West, I guess, you know. There's a growing disenchantment and growing anger amongst just regular people with I think rightfully they perceive as a ruling elite class who no longer feel the need to, engage with them, to listen to their concerns, to listen to their worries, to really engage with the democratic process. I think too many of this ruling elite class got quite used to the couple of years they had in lockdown where they could just invoke emergency powers and not listen to anybody. And there's a growing feeling that of a sort of new feudalism, a sort of new neo-digital feudalism. Maybe it's a bit of a stretch, Ava, but you get what I mean. There's a growing anger and resentment as the class divide grows. Anyway, my friends, that's what's happening in Dublin. This is Agitators Anonymous. It's a little bit shorter than usual, so I'm not sure quite how to keep saying the same thing. But read between the lines. Come on, Slayer. Great song, though. In fact, I keep finding myself going back to South of Heaven more than any other Slayer album. Answers on a postcard. Read between the lines of what's being told to you, and try and hold the line against the most extreme forms of tribalism on either side, claiming one side is the other and the other. This was, like I said, at the heart of it, an insanely tragic, dark thing that happened in broad daylight. And it sparked a huge riot. All right, my friends, Agitators Anonymous in Dublin's fair city. We'll speak to you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.